Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his side with me, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? I've been to St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Mellow yellow jello. Hello around the globe. And Happy New Year to each and every one of you guys. I hope you had a great, great Christmas. And I know this new year was probably super, superb for most of you. But for yours truly, it was the shits. And let me tell you why. A, the lights and electricity and power went off at a very well-known resort casino in Nevada. They had, I don't know, 3 to 5 feet of snow, and the weather was just terrible, 21 degrees below or some crazy figure with the wind chill factor. And this hotel, this resort, they didn't know how to turn on the transfer switch for the generator because the guy was on vacation, and when they called him, he wouldn't answer his phone until 18 hours later. So it was kind of terrible, but we made well, and we got out of there to be back last night. We had a beautiful dinner. Any of you guys remember a guy called Yan Can Cook, Martin Yan? Well, we had dinner with him last night. Great guy. Super guy. They're doing a documentary on him. And not only that, he's opening up a restaurant at Bally's in Las Vegas. He invited me and my crew down there upon the opening, which we're going to invite him and his crew to our premiere of our new movie coming out here in this June. So the key to it is it's going to be huge. Great super guy. The food that we had over at H&L was superb. You can't ask for anything better. The weather now has gone crazy. Had a nice surprise guest. You've all heard of Lyndon Graves, the author of that book of his, and he came up to see his son down in Salinas Bay Area, down there in the Monterey Bay Area. And I had him over tonight because we had a few people here. Some of my kids are leaving tomorrow and everything. We had a little dinner, and he surprised us, showed up, and he's here with us right now. And he wants to say hello to everybody with a good cheer for the holiday and a happy new year. Lyndon, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Happy new year. Wishing everybody the best.
Hey, Lyndon.
Best time. Hey, guys. So it's a real thrill to be here on set and get to see it happen.
and it's live. It's not Memorex, folks. And he happened to be here tonight, and he had some of our hospitality. And I learned a few things about him, and I'm going to tell you straight up. He's got something going on down there in the same area where I was with the Lost Dutchman gold mine. And we've been trading a little tits back and forth, and I'll tell you right now, he's pretty on close and on point with this whole thing. Not only that, my other boy, Chris, he's on the line here with us, which I'm going to be getting off here pretty soon because the Swede and my co-host, my brother, Rocky, is going to handle the show. And we got Chris on the line talking about those prints that he saw and showed us all. And my brother from another mother up in Montana, Bruce Schilt. Is Bruce Schilt on with us, Rocky?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, he went through some crucial weather up there also because it hit him and then it came down in the batter and hit us. But nevertheless, hold on. I'm going to see if I can get TJ in here. We got a house full of others, brothers and stuff. Lyndon, would you tell TJ to come in here? So I'm going to see if I can get TJ to wish everybody a happy new year here. He's flying out early in the morning. And I told him, I said, listen, you know, and his brothers just haven't seen him in so long. They just wanted to love him up, as all of us do. And I hope you people don't mind. But so we got Bruce Schilt, my brother from another mother up there in the Blackfeet Indian Reservation up in Montana. We got Chris, my other boy. He's going to continue on and tell us the whole story there. And, of course, we got the people who make and to show who it is. It's Rocky and the Swede. And without any further ado, I'm going to get TJ to say hello and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. TJ, say hello to everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody. How are you? Great to see y'all.
As you can maybe not see or hear, he's not feeling any pain. That's for damn sure. But he's had three of his brothers come in here tonight already. And some friends they hadn't seen for 30 years, believe it or not. 30 years, okay? So the key to it is, let me tell you how far out of it is. He thinks the show's on record, you know, that we taped prior. This is live, folks. This isn't memory. This is the real deal. So without any further ado, what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch it over to my co-host, which we all know and love, and I trust you had a great new year, Rocky.
Oh, I had such a great new year. I don't even have words.
That's
It was great.
Well, let me tell you something. When you're short with words, then I got to worry. So therefore, and Swede's with us too. Swede, was your new year a good one?
It was wonderful. Got to hang out with the family We just kind of let it all sink in and hoping for the best these next 365.
Oh, that's good. By the way, I told Lyndon that you're looking out after his place till he gets home.
You better believe it. We'll keep an eye on it, Lyndon. I see somebody hooking up, I'll quiz them.
All right. Thank you. He just loves you guys to no end. You have no idea. Well, Chris is on the line too. I don't know who do you want first. Well, why don't we do Bruce first, because Chris is he's flexible as hell. Bruce, you out there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
How are you, my man?
I'm good.
How's my family up there doing?
Raptured, but we had a wonderful New Year's and a good day.
I know you were stranded there for a while with the snow. You couldn't get into town. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we were snowed in for, I don't know, a week or two. But,
yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, we made it to town.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad to see
my kids and my wife and all of us want to thank you for the beautiful Christmas presents.
Oh, listen, you don't have to thank me. Never have
well,
to thank
yes,
me for nothing. The reason being is when you're family, like I've told you in the past, Bruce, you never have to thank somebody for the love that you show. And that's all. And that's all you've ever done for me and mine. And that's all I'll ever do for you until the day I die. So, but I would like, since TJ's here and he's flying out in the morning and his three other brothers came in to see him. And by the way, like I told you, Lyndon surprised us. God love this guy. He's really deep. I learned a lot about him, and which we're going to have him on the show next week. And we're going to get into a lot of this. He's sweet. I'm going to tell you. He's pretty close to me. He's well informed. He's got a couple of claims there on the Lost Dutchman out there in Arizona.
Really?
So we may be collaborating on this. And Bruce, I may be bringing you down in here using your influence with the Indian reservation, so we don't get arrested. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll wear my feathers.
That's my brother. So listen, I'm going to let you guys go, talk all you need, do what you need to do. And by the way, Rocky, all you need to call in, say, hey, Chris, now it's your turn. He's right here. I'm going to leave him right next to the phone. So he's on there with you. And Chris, thank you so much, son, for being with us tonight too, okay?
It's a pleasure.
All right, you heard him live, guys. Go for it. Have a good time. Rocky, I'm turning it back to you.
Okay, Tom, y'all. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Bye, sweet.
Good night. Tell TGI I said hey.
See you, Tom.
Have a good night, Tom.
Okay, and now then, Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
How's things been going up your way other than the weather?
Well, weather's not nothing. We're used to it. But I do have a couple interesting stories. One night I went out on the back porch and I heard this Bigfoot calling. Where Tom took Tom over and we found those Bigfoot tracks by the lake. But it's maybe a quarter mile from the house. And I heard this Bigfoot hollering at it out in the brush there. So I came in and told my wife, but when she came out, it was too late. He already quit. And then a couple nights later, my girl, she went out. She was taking care of the dogs. And there's a pack of wolves that's been hanging around. And she went out and she let out a Bigfoot whoop. And that Bigfoot, he answered her back and scared her pretty bad. But those are the two stories that just been recent. And this summer, I know a guy that works at the casino. He was up on Bigfoot Alley. Tom knows where I'm talking about. Over by Hiram's, that creek that goes up by his house there. They were up that creek, and this Bigfoot was throwing big boulders at him from across. Bigfoot was in the brush across the creek. He couldn't see him, but he was throwing big boulders, landing alongside of him and throwing rocks at him. And he got out of there. And my other buddy, he he was up there, and he was along the same place. And that Bigfoot hollered at him and scared him out of there. And this here's all about where Hiram stays, where that dog pulled that leg out of the creek. We call it Bigfoot
right
Alley.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's some pretty cool stuff. You always have good stuff for us, Bruce. I mean we depend on you.
Oh yeah. Well, there's always something happening, you know. But you know, it's so common around here that I don't get all the stories. Just you know, later on somebody'll mention something about it, you know. And
well, you know
that's the way I get the stories, but they're all true. And you know,
then,
Hiram stays by. Well, that ridge up there, that they have a ceremony. These Indians have a ceremony every year up there, and there's a Bigfoot that comes in and sees them. This is right where Hiram lives, just down the hill there, where Hiram's daughter seen those two Bigfoot coming off of that Home Gun Ridge. And those Bigfoot, this is where I got a Bigfoot track down along that creek there. One year it was Halloween, and them Bigfoot, they come through there all the time. You know, never
well, you
see
know,
them,
you,
though.
You hear the stories, but, you know, it may be a little bit after it happened, maybe a long time after it happened. Well, we were...
Oh, no, not very long, you know. Like, this just happened summer, you know.
Me and Swede was talking about it, and I don't even remember what year it was, but a friend of mine brought what was the name of the paper, Robert?
Texarkana Gazette.
Yeah, the Texarkana Gazette, and it had a story about the Falk monster in it. And so 2 days later, I was down there down by Boggy Creek. I actually slept under the Boggy Creek Bridge. And then it was me and him was talking, you know, a few decades later, me and him was talking about it. And I said, yeah, I read it in the newspaper, and you know that I went down there. And he said, really? He said, what year was that? And I told him I couldn't remember what year it was. He said, well, he said, I went down there just after the movie came out in 1977, which was the year I got out of the Marines.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting how it's that part of it where me and the Swede were concerned, how that all made the big circle.
That's a famous place, that Boggy Creek. They're always seeing that monster in it.
Yeah, well, I don't know when was the last time. Most of the people that, I say most of them, a lot of them are, you know, dead and gone now. So I have their names written down. The only one that I can actually remember is Mr. Crabtree, and I believe he owned the store. I can't remember for sure. Of course, you know, I got them all stirred up. They ended up getting in an argument because I I asked the right question. And anyhow, but then, you know, ended up sometime after that, me and Tom wanted me and the Swede to go to Foreman, Arkansas, and it had a guy call from there and, you know, wanted us to go investigate. So we went down there and we hung out for a while, and then the Swede just happened to point it out. He said, you know, he said, if we, instead of turning right, if we'd have turned left and gone 8 or 10 more miles, we'd be back in South Arkansas. And, of course, you know, about the only thing we saw in Foreman, Arkansas was one of the saddest coons that you can imagine. But,
oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was a big thing, and that was the year that we found out that. Do I?
He ate a 30-gallon drum of peanut butter.
yeah. I mean, he ate well while we were there. But
that old boy said he put out a 30-gallon drum of. I guess it was Army surplus commodity peanut butter he got a hold of, and
uh-huh.
he was putting a big old smear of butter, peanut butter on this tree every night, or thereabouts, for a
uh-huh.
couple of months, and put all that peanut butter out there on all that 30-gallon drum full of peanut butter on that tree,
oh.
and that coon ate every bit of it.
Holy moly!
Yeah,
he was as big as a. He was about the size of a cub bear. He was big.
Oh.
Yeah, he
was crazy.
We were we would take turns staying up, and that first night I stayed up, the Swede said there's a coon out there. Said you won't believe it. And well, when my turn came, sure enough, that thing come waddling up through there, and it looked like a Volkswagen van or something.
Yeah. His head,
yeah,
it looked funny, Bruce. His head was just normal size, but his body looked like somebody aired him up with an arrow.
Frog.
Yeah, it was in Foreman, Arkansas. He thought a Bigfoot eating that peanut butter off that tree, and there may have been, but the coon got the majority of it.
we fed that,
this is funny.
That coon sardines and tuna and dinner. We fed it all kinds of stuff. And I guarantee you, that dude knew when supper time came and rolled around. He was there every night.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I never saw him wreck
him up
big
pretty,
Bruce ever.
Pretty good.
You should have seen him trying to climb that tree. He was so big and fat, he couldn't have that
fell out of it about three times. Making up. Oh, man.
His feet wouldn't touch the tree for his belly rubbing.
Yeah,
he's rubbing his belly.
His belly was plum shiny, no hair.
Yeah, he was shiny on the underside. He was funny looking. I've never seen a coon that big. I guarantee you, Bruce, I'm not exaggerating, that coon probably weighed 60, 70 pounds. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
it was the biggest
man.
Raccoon I ever saw.
That's big as a dog.
Yeah, it was big as a dog. He looked like a half-grown bear cub.
Yeah.
Holy.
It was
did he follow you?
He moved. When he was moving, he moved real slow. He just come walking down through there real slow, just a waddling, just a coming real slow.
Yeah, I don't think it was as big as that one that Dad shot down at C4.
Yeah, it's a, you know, Foreman, Arkansas was a pretty cool place down there, and there was a lot of potential down there. It's kind of in the same neck of the woods as Falk, Arkansas. You could see if there was Bigfoot there would be there. You know, they could definitely live there. But we didn't see any Bigfoot. We seen some depressions where there might have been some footprints and this and that, but we never actually laid eyes on anything. Yeah. Of course, it was freezing cold weather, and we were down there in the winter camping in the tents. And, you know, the river was froze over part of the time.
We didn't see much of that thing. My Dodge made it across the creek, didn't it?
Yeah. Rocky drove across the Little Red River with his truck.
Oh, man.
Hey, Robert, Swede said, are you sure you want to go any further? We're about the middle. Says, you sure you want to try to cross this? I said, yeah. I said, may as well. Said, we got as far as we have. He said, he just had his arm hanging out the window. He said, my fingers are in the water.
Oh, man.
We made it across and back, and it just didn't have any trouble. But
that was a heck of a trip, boy, I tell you.
Yeah, guys got to take a few chances, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
we've put a lot of miles on that old Dodge running the time. The last trip I took with Tom in my old Dodge, we put 9,000 miles on.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Then, of course, me and the Swede, we put a bunch of miles on that thing, too.
Yeah, going to Texas and everywhere. You know,
Texas,
we
Maryland, and, yeah,
oh,
we...
Yeah, Maryland. We went across the country in it several times, seems like. You know, Bruce, when we were down there in Foreman, Arkansas, there was a thing that we saw on that creek. There was a pile of clam shells from the river, and down there in a spot where there wasn't nobody. I don't think there was anybody down there, but there was a big old pile of clam shells kind of piled up there on the gravel bar there, like something had been gathering them up and eating them right there.
Oh,
and
I thought,
you know, it was just an interesting thing, and I thought, you know, a coon didn't do that, you know.
No, you know, them Bigfoot, they eat everything, you know, just like people, you know.
Well, I figured clams would be pretty good eating, you know it?
Oh, yeah, I bet
from
they
the
really
river.
Like them, you know.
There was a bunch of shells there. There was probably, if you put them together, there's probably two dozen clams. You know, there was 24 half shells there or so in a pile. Not in a pile, but just scattered out there in a close proximity, you know.
Yeah.
I just think it just looked odd to me that anybody would have cut them open right there on that gravel bar.
Oh, yeah.
Something
no,
wild.
I don't think so, you know. They'd have put them in a bucket and brought them home and cooked them, you know.
That's right. That's what I thought.
Bank,
ate them on the beach like that, right. Huh. That's what I thought, too. I bet a Bigfoot was the one that did that. That's the only thing I know in the woods that could have been able to find them in the gravel and then get them out and open them up.
Yeah. That's about the only thing that does stuff like that, you know.
We had some pictures. I have some pictures somewhere of that scene.
Yeah.
There on the river, I took some pictures when we were down there.
Yeah.
And that was just something that always kind of stuck with me on that expedition. Didn't really see it had rained, it had rained and sleeted, and it kind of, you couldn't really see any footprints. You know, it kind of washed it away a little bit. But
yeah.
But those shells were all right there, just a shining white. You know, you could see them.
And
yeah.
And the wild hogs.
Yeah,
right,
something did that, you know, and they ate them right there, you know, and it wasn't a person, and, you know, it couldn't have been anything else.
I don't
well,
know.
Had, I
never
mean, there was a lot for it to eat there. We got up one morning, and it was still dark enough that we kind of had to guess there the first couple of times what was moving around over on the sandbar across from us. Then finally there was enough light that, boy, there are four or five wild hogs out there.
Boy. Yeah, there was a bunch of pigs right across the river from us. You know, huh. Bigfoot catch those pigs and eat them. You know they can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard they catch them and they'll just grab them by the back legs and whack their heads on a tree or something. And
oh, yeah,
them.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would imagine that worked pretty good.
We got a pretty good hog population here in Arkansas now, and out where me and Swede have been going for decades. We've taken we've gone out with Tom and Tommy and, you know, the Bigfoot boys, and there's one old hog out there. She's an old black and pink spotted feral hog, but I mean, there's so much food for them that
they get big.
Well, that big old sow, she was just that, a big old sow. We couldn't fire on it because there's so many of us in the truck. We had Tom, TJ, his boy, Tommy, and Big Frank, and there's several of us in that truck. That was the first time, I guess, Larry had ever seen a bear in the wild, because I thought he was going to have to use a whole roll of paper towels cleaning himself up. But, yeah. Well, let's
hey, Bruce.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, when your daughter heard that Bigfoot hollering, did it holler right back at her just immediately when she whooped at it, or did it take a minute?
Well, hold on a second. I'll ask her. When you made that whoop, did that Bigfoot call back at you immediately? Or? Yeah, she said.
Wow. You know, we've heard some delay sometimes in calling back. But, boy, if I tell you what, she must have did a good whoop if it called right back at her.
Oh, it scared her to death. She ran in the house, and she told me, she said, "Feel my heart, Dad. It's beating 100 miles an hour." She said that Bigfoot hollered back at me when I made a whoop. She was trying to make those wolves shut up. You know, they usually shut up when you holler at them, you know. But
did she start carrying the gun after that? Did she start carrying the gun after that?
The gun?
Yeah.
No, nobody was shooting.
No, I'm saying, did she start carrying one after she heard the same hoof at her?
No, no. No, they live around here, you know, and they know everything about us, but we don't know too much about them. We just know they're around here, and
you know, I've had so many people ask me said, oh, you know, if you see one, what are you going to do? Well, my standard answer is I'm gonna look real hard and see if I see a zipper, because, you know, stupid people do stupid things. But I'm kind of funny about that. I don't go out places where I'm going to get, I stand that much of a chance of getting eaten by something. Not to say that it would, but that at the same time, there's no guarantee that it won't.
Yeah. We don't press the point either, you know. Last summer, my girl seen a Bigfoot hut in alongside of the road, and Tom Biscardi, he stayed in that motel. It was only maybe 6-8 minutes from where Tom was staying in the East Glacier, and it's only about 6 or 8 minutes up the road there, and we got pictures and everything of that Bigfoot hut. We sent them to Tom, and he said that it was a genuine hut, Bigfoot hut.
Wow.
Them Bigfoot are all over here, you know. You never see them hardly, but I've seen them. My kids have seen them. And about,
the thing I've done, whether you
more
see
than
them
half
or not,
of Browning
said
a Bigfoot story, you know. They all see them. You know, it's kind of like a common thing around here, you know. I mean, people see them, and, you know, they don't get excited or nothing, you know. One of them took a little video of one just about 10 minutes from the house here, you know, and they're all over here. There's a guy that lived down there by Bigfoot, I mean, on the other side, down Bigfoot Alley there. He was my friend, kind of a little cowboy. And he used to make a plate for a Bigfoot every night, and he put it in that little shed. And that Bigfoot would come down that creek, and he would cross over and go to his place. And he'd go in that little shed, and he'd scrape through the door there, and he'd eat his food, and he'd come back out, go around his house, and tell his dog to shut up, and his dog would go to the porch and lay down, and that Bigfoot would leave. But I asked him, I said, "Do you have that hair?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I got a whole baggie of it." He said, I said, "Can I look at it?" And he said, "Sure, as soon as I find it." But he died before I could, you know, examine that hair. But, you know, that's a true Bigfoot story. And he told me, he said one time, he said, "Bruce, you know that Bigfoot that whistles at you when you go to the mountain?" Told him, "Yeah, what about it?" He said, "That Bigfoot wants to talk to you." I said, "He wants to talk to me?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, when you go to the mountain, he sees you go there. He knows you there. And when you leave, he lets you know that he knows you were there and that he's there." And he said, "If you take a offering 3 nights in a row and put it up there," he said, "that Bigfoot will come down and he'll take your offering the first 2 nights." And he said, "If you just sit up there and wait, that Bigfoot will come down and he will talk with you." Now, I never had the gut to do that, you know. I don't want to get that close to a Bigfoot, you know what I mean?
I can understand
that. Hey, Rocky. It's so interesting to have Bruce on here, but you better get you a little commercial in before we need it. After the break, maybe we can talk with Chris just a little bit.
Okay.
That sounds like a good idea.
Thank you for coming. Bruce, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always so interesting to listen to you. I'm glad that you're getting along up there and staying warm in that cold weather, and we're looking forward for you to come back on the show again.
Oh, good, yeah. Yeah, well, thank you, and I hope you guys stay well and safe and have a good day.
And a good new year.
And new year, yeah.
The same to you.
A wonderful
Go ahead and listen in if you want to.
Okay.
I'm going to a commercial, and then we're going to get Chris on.
Right on. Okay.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. It's time to talk with Mr. Chris and see how things are going in his neck of the woods. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Greetings, Rocky and Sweet. Happy New Year's, my friends, and Happy New Year's to you, Mr. Bruce, out there in, what is it, Montana?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear from you. Greetings from the Southern Sierras of California. Watching atmospheric river come in. Supposedly they got a cyclone warning. I hope it doesn't come over here. I have no experience with cyclones, but it's been a pretty cold, and not nearly as cold as it must be up there in Montana. But it's been pretty chilly out here. We got snow on the mountains, and it's pretty much right now we're past the prime for a lot of activities. It seems like in my neck of the woods, it really comes through in certain times, right around the beginning of December, all the way usually to about now. We got stuff. I haven't been able to get out to the spot where I was at last time. I kind of had a nervous situation when I ran into Cartel Grow. But I've picked up a few reports. reports, there was a guy who said that he had heard screams and heard some goat, or I guess his neighbor's goats, two of them were taken. There was a friend, a new guy, a new acquaintance that I met, who lives, his parents got a cabin up here in the mountains in a place called Horse Meadows, and basically he said that they've had stuff happen up there. They've had rocks thrown at the cabin. They've had one night, you know, one evening his mom decided to spend the night out just outside. It was in the summer, the late summer or fall. They're in the higher elevation, and she heard something trailing around the perimeter of the property just off into the tree line. And needless to say, she says she'll never, ever go back out. You know, she'll never sleep on a cot out in the yard again. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, I do have some friends. I got friends that live out there. I've got friends and family that live in Montana. I got some family that live in Bozeman, but I got some family that live up there in Fort Tyne, which is by Eureka, kind of by Flathead there. And, you know, I had a friend say that one afternoon they went out spotting for elk, him and his wife. And they were, I think he said they were in the Cabernet Wilderness. Might have been, I'm not sure if it was that or the Bitterroot or whatever, but they were out there and they heard a loudest scream they've ever heard in their life, and they knew it wasn't anything that they've ever heard, you know, ever. And basically him and his wife were back to back with their weapons out, you know, kind of nervous, just, you know, backtracking the way they came in. And I asked, you know, how far away do you think it was where the scream happened, the roar? And he said it was probably about a football field away, and he said that was still too close, man. They didn't feel safe, and they didn't feel like whatever made the noise, they felt like the guns that they had on them might not be enough. They've never heard that before in their life, and I thought that was kind of interesting, you know. It's been a cold winter season, and I'm almost I'm glad we're getting the rain, but it also makes it really dangerous where I live. The canyon, we have one, when it rains like this, boulders start to fall in the canyon, and sometimes some of these boulders are you know, half as big as a car, sometimes as big as a car, and they'll be rolled right out onto the highway, and that's enough to ruin your day big time. But how's everybody else doing out there?
We've all been doing pretty good here in Arkansas. We had some bad weather. It's not that the Swede had to go out and bust the ice off the pond so that cows could get a drink, and then he fell through. other than that, you know, that was a tragedy averted. But anyhow, it's been really pretty good up here. I think the coldest it got was 2 below with a 20s, like a 26, minus 26 wind chill.
Yeah.
Wow.
The wind was blowing about 40 miles an hour, and that evening, that night, it was blowing white caps across my
top. Yeah, that's enough to blow your shoelaces out.
The water, it come in.
Yeah, we're having gusts up here around 40 or 50 miles an hour. And
the water.
Yeah, it's kind of dangerous right now. They said that there's danger of trees falling, whole groves of them, they say, so it's not a time where you want to be running around out in the forest, that's for sure. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, I've seen that where the trees will...
So anyways, yeah, I just wanted to check in real quick. I got to kind of get moving along. I got to go and do a few things still before the stores close. But I hope everybody's staying warm and enjoying their holiday season. And again, Happy New Year's to everybody. And I hope everybody, if anybody's got any questions for me, I'm open. And, you know, let me know if you guys have any questions for me.
Well,
Rich, you seen any footprints lately?
You guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hail him, Rocky.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, I didn't know I was still on. Hello.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Getting all kinds of weird things happening.
I can hear you, Rocky.
Can you hear me? Can you
hear
me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Okay.
It's been a pretty good year. Hope this next one's better. But you know, Christmas, it was so good. You know, I know the Swede. Well, you know, his family is my family, and kind of the other way around. Also, me and my wife got more time off this year for Christmas than we've had since in the last 20, actually longer than that. But
yeah,
we had a good time. I got to hang out with Swede for a little bit, and it was just real good. We didn't get to talk to Tom as much, but then, you know, we were really glad that Tom got to have as much family time as he has. You know, that in itself made mine and the Swedes' Christmas and New Year's better. I got to talk to Tommy a little, and of course, you know, I had to butt in when he was trying to work, but it all worked out. And of course, you know, y'all that don't know us, you know, me and the Swede are, we're in communication, you know, at least one time a day, every day.
Oh.
And so
we live,
course,
pretty,
you know,
close
we're,
to each other, Bruce. This lives down the road from me about maybe 10 minutes, maybe, if I'm going slow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
we
live right here.
You can watch your house when you're gone.
And he can, and we do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yep. We can go
out
and
nice,
each other's backyards.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go shoot a little bit and deer hunt a little bit and all that. All right here close, you know. In the, you know, Lyndon, the man that was on with Tom, he just lives around the road from us, probably 15, 20, maybe 15 minutes away from us right now.
Neighbors.
We're all neighbors, real close neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
it was kind of funny. it was kind of funny because me and him came to know each other because I went to stop by his business. He was selling portable buildings, stuff like that. Uh-huh. And I went by there. Me and my wife was looking to get us a big shed. And I noticed that he kept looking at me kind of funny. And then he asked me about my cap. And then I realized I was wearing my Searching for Bigfoot cap.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyhow, we talked about it, and he went and got me a copy of his book and signed it. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I wear my Bigfoot coat, and, man, I get all kinds of compliments on it.
Well, you know, Tom gave me and Swede a really nice jacket.
Yeah.
Mine's more a coat than it is a jacket, but anyhow, one day I was walking through the mall here in town, and I was going to go in there. It was supposed to take me about 10 minutes to be there and gone. I was there for over an hour before I finally just quit answering questions about my jacket. Everybody
wanted
to buy
one. People are, yeah, they're
the
curious.
Curious, aren't they, Bruce?
Yeah.
They want to know.
Well,
they want to know about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And they want to tell you about it.
Or they want to tell you about it. You know, they've had an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, you know. All you got to do is mention Bigfoot, and they'll say, hey, did you hear when I was hunting out here one day and this Bigfoot chased my cows or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah, just little stories like that, you know.
Yeah, that's how it gets started. You know, you get something to break the ice, and, boy, people will start telling you about their what they've seen or what they've had happen, you know.
Yeah.
There's not been
You know, this guy called me. He said he'd give me $1,000 if I could find a Bigfoot track in the pristine snow.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
You know, it don't happen that way, you know.
You can't find them like that. The wind blows them full.
Yeah, the wind will blow the snow away, or either it'll dump a foot of snow on top of it. But one year, we got a call. My girl got she seen it on Facebook. Said there was some Bigfoot tracks. This is in the same vicinity where we have all this Bigfoot action. And it was just up the creek there, a little bit farther up the creek. They said they seen some Bigfoot tracks across the snowbank. We only live maybe 5 minutes from there, so we went up there. And sure enough, there was some big muddy footprints on this crusted snowbank. That snowbank was frozen, and he walked right across that snowbank, you know, and you could just see the mud, these muddy footprints going across it, and then he went into the brush. But you can't follow a footprint like that, you know, because the ground's frozen, and, you know, and they go into the brush. You never know where they go.
Bruce, it's the we're running against the clock now.
Okay.
Come back and talk with us again next week.
Okay.
Chris, everybody stay in touch. And like I said, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, I hope yours is as good as mine was.
Yeah. Well, same to you. We appreciate you calling us and letting us visit.
Thanks, Bruce. We appreciate it, too.
Swede?
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes,
Swede,
it is.
Buddy, I'll talk to you later.
All right. I'll catch up with you tomorrow, I'm sure.
Okay,
everybody,
man.
Have a good night.
Good night, everybody, and thank you for calling in.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them together, reason for the facts.